Oh, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you're listening. This is Davisville on KDRTLP 95.7 FM in Davis, California. We live online at kdrt.org. I'm Bill Buchanan, and I thank you for listening in today. Well, nothing will make you appreciate shade from a tree like a day when the temperature hits 110, like we've already experienced several times this summer in Davis. The U.S. Energy Department has numbers that describe what it is we feel near a tree. It says that the shade from a tree can reduce surrounding air temperatures by up to 6 degrees. And because cool air settles near the ground, air directly under trees can be up to 25 degrees Fahrenheit cooler than the air above nearby blacktop. So we love our trees, but you've got to take care of them. In a hot, flat town like Davis, trees become even more important aesthetically. Imagine Davis without them. It'd be a hot nightmare. My guest today is Erin Marino. She is the executive director of the Tree Davis nonprofit, and her job includes thinking about how to keep Davis well-treed and therefore a little cooler than we'd otherwise be on these scorching summer days. Erin, thank you for appearing on Davisville today. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bill. Thanks for having me.
So let's start with a couple of big questions, big picture questions. You know, the city has or maintains, if I did the math correctly, about 18,000 public trees. And that's the ones on streets and parks and green belts. How does that quantity rate for a city this size?
Dave, the city of Davis is actually very lucky. In general, for a city of our size, we have a fantastic tree canopy. A lot of times canopy is discussed in terms of percentage cover, and I don't know exactly what our percentage cover is at the moment, but I do know compared to other cities nearby of our size, we have a lot more. In general, a really great percentage that we would like to aim for is around 35 or 40% canopy cover. And I know that the city of Davis in general has an older tree canopy, a more mature canopy in comparison to some of our other nearby surrounding towns as well. So we're lucky in that regard.
Does canopy or coverage mean if you were sort of up in an airplane looking down on the city, basically 35% or so would be covered by trees? Okay. Is there any estimate for how many trees there are in Davis overall? The majority would be on private property. So it isn't something I would think the city would inventory, but I was just trying to get a sense of the scope of it. I don't know if those numbers exist.
I'm not sure if those numbers exist either. I don't know how many trees we actually have in the city of Davis. That's not a number that I have off the top of my head. I'm sorry.
Of course, the canopy, I guess, measures that too in a way. It tells you the part of the town that's covered. How are trees doing in Davis overall, generally? You know, is it like healthy, not sure, sort of mixed?
Yeah, that's a good question. As I mentioned, we have a relatively mature canopy. A lot of our city street trees were planted at the same time that developments happened in the 1950s and the 1960s. So a lot of our trees are reaching their elder years. For example, on my street, I live in East Davis, and historically the street has been treed with Modesto ash trees. Those were all planted at the time that the houses were built, and the vast majority of those trees are reaching the end of their natural lives. They're starting to thin out at the top of the canopy. In past windstorms in previous years, we've seen some limbs down on our block. So in particular patches across town, I would say that the canopy is aging, but Tree Davis is proactively working on the large scale picture of urban forest succession. That's planning for the next generation of trees. So as our trees that were planted 50, 60 years ago, or even more, as those begin to age out, we're replacing those trees with young trees that are being planted anytime that it's not raining throughout the year. I mean, anytime that it is raining and anytime that it's not summertime, we are planting. Okay. So that's approximately 40 weekends of the year that we're planting trees.
So, boy, there's a lot in that answer. And I want to ask you in a minute to just describe what Tree Davis is and how it works. But first, if someone owns a house or owns property and they've got an old tree on their property, is it their job, so to speak, to replace it?
That's a good question. Okay. Yeah, it depends. The answer, as many answers are, it depends. So first, it depends on whether or not that tree is considered a city tree. And the city of Davis has an inventory of all of their city trees. A lot of times that is determined by where the tree falls on the property. And if that tree is within 10 feet of the sidewalk, then it's likely, it's not guaranteed, but it's likely that that is a city tree. And anyone can call the city of Davis and find out if the tree on their property is a city tree. If it is not, well, I guess we could start with, if it is a city tree, then that tree should be maintained by the city of Davis and on a regular pruning cycle. And when that tree has reached the end of its life, the city can, if the city deems that it's time, that tree can be removed by the city and replaced in partnership with Tree Davis. If the tree is not a city tree, then it is up to the homeowner to seek out the help of a certified arborist to do a health assessment of the tree and decide whether it's the right time to take it out. And if the tree belongs to the homeowner and the homeowner decides it's time to take it out, the homeowner can take it out.
Okay, so it's like anything else. If you own property, you need to take care of this. But if it's a tree near the street, the city is actively monitoring that and will take care of it. And I imagine talk to the landowner and say, you know, I got to tell you, this tree in the front yard has got to come out. Okay. And so then how does Tree Davis, what is Tree Davis exactly? And then how does it fit in to all this?
Absolutely. So Tree Davis is a nonprofit organization. We were founded in 1992, and the mission of our organization is to enhance and expand the urban forest by teaching the people of our community to plant and care for trees. And we are basically, we have a very strong public nonprofit partnership. So we're very lucky to have a strong partnership with the city of Davis. And, you know, the city does everything that it possibly can to look after our trees and care for our trees, but we can do more together as a community. So Tree Davis brings the community together in planting trees and in caring for trees and in working with the city to also make a vision for what we want our urban forest to look like in the future and how to prepare for things like the growing reality that is climate change. How do we prepare our urban green spaces for that reality?
Well, in fact, I wanted to ask about that. The city community has a program currently to add 1,000 shade trees over 3 years, right? Roughly 3 years ending in July 2022.
That's right.
So those are free. If someone wants, in other words, interested in that, would they just contact you or contact the
city? Yes. Thank you for mentioning our program. So we call this program Community Canopy, and this is funded by Proposition 68 and CAL FIRE, which is the state forestry agency. And the city of Davis is actually the recipient of this grant, and Tree Davis is a partner and a contractor on the grant. And so if anybody in the city would like to have a tree planted in the easement of their property within 10 feet of the sidewalk, they can contact Tree Davis, www.treedavis.org. And we've got a form there where you can fill out your address and your contact information. And we will send a certified arborist to come and take a look at your property and make recommendations for the right tree for the right place. Anybody can contact us for a tree, and that's through March of 2022.
Do you have to be the landowner to do that? Or like if you were a tenant in a house or in an apartment?
A tenant can also call us and, you know, because we want to make sure that these trees are looked after in the long term, it's always good for renters to get okay from their landlord or whoever the homeowner is. We request that they have an okay from whoever owns the property.
One thing that struck me thinking about adding 1,000 trees, and of course it's nice, who doesn't like trees? But it also indicates that as many trees as Davis has, the community sees a need for more. Climate change must be part of that. Don Shore has a list, who runs Davis Redwood Barn, and he also has a garden show on KDRT. He has a list of all the benefits of trees.
Don's amazing. He's also a Tree Davis board member. Thank you, Don.
But specifically about climate change, how is that affecting Davis's plans for trees?
So, of course, I'm biased because I'm the executive director of Tree Davis. But personally, I think one of the most important things we can do to combat climate change, to mitigate climate change and adapt to the effects of climate change is plant trees. The obvious benefit is shade. If you compare the temperature difference between unshaded blacktop and shaded green space, that difference can be as much as 60 degrees Fahrenheit. You can have a massive difference in surface temperatures when you have adequate shade and permeable surfaces. Those two things in combination are so very important for mitigating our urban temperatures.
And so just to be clear, by permeable, you mean not asphalt, not blacktop, but, you know, ground, basically water can get through.
So water can get through. That's exactly correct. And, you know, we like to think of ourselves as sort of being in an agricultural landscape, and we are surrounded by agricultural land. But when we experience our heat waves in the summertime, we make no mistake that we have a lot of hardscape under our feet here in the city of Davis. And that hardscape gets very, very hot. So we experience in an urban setting what's called the urban heat island effect. And that means that these hard surfaces are absorbing heat and radiating it back up towards us, towards our buildings, towards our bodies, towards our structures. And we retain that heat also, even as the air temperatures are cooling overnight, say in the middle of a heat wave, if we're lucky, it cools off a little bit at nighttime. But with the radiating heat from the hard surfaces, they're not able to cool down instantaneously. They're losing their heat very gradually. And so if the air temperature doesn't come down very much, then the next day that we're starting a heat wave, we're starting with already hot surfaces that basically that's our baseline for the daytime. So the urban heat island effect, mitigating the urban heat island effect is extremely important, and trees are very important for that. And then secondarily, as part of mitigating the urban heat island effect, trees in permeable surfaces are natural air conditioners themselves. So not only do they create shade, but as they are transpiring water all the way from their roots out through their leaves, that water vapor is cooling. It has a cooling influence. It's literally air conditioning. You know, you can feel it on these hot summer evenings. If you walk from your community into one of our surrounding parks or our green belts and you go stand on a permeable surface, you can feel instantaneously at least 10 degrees cooler. So this is one of the most important issues we as a community can keep in mind as we look ahead to the next 50 years and we anticipate serious heat waves. We anticipate serious droughts. And so having public green space that is accessible, having healthy trees in these public green spaces is one of the most important things we can do to keep ourselves healthy, comfortable, and thriving in this community.
There's always a complication, right? One of the complications sometimes with trees and solar power is trees can shade solar panels. Solar power obviously is good for a variety of things too. It's a clean form of energy. There was one article on The Vanguard where actually Don Shore posted a comment in which he said, "I would never trade my shade trees for solar panels. The ascent of solar and its associated mandatory use in construction is going to lead to ugly, hot, unlivable neighborhoods and bleak, arid shopping centers. Solar panels belong in the tops of buildings. They don't belong anywhere you can plant and maintain a tree." Very clear language there. Do you have advice or guidelines on maybe how solar and trees can coexist? Don's answer there is put them on top of buildings. Don't use them as, like, say, covers for a parking lot, I would imagine. I don't want to put words in his mouth. How do we balance those two?
Yeah, it's a good question, and it's something that's top of mind for a lot of people right now. I've received several phone calls from community members on this topic. I generally agree with Don. I would say that I would take it a little bit more on a case-by-case basis in terms of deciding whether solar panels are appropriate for a parking lot. But in general, I agree. I think some people think that we should just put solar panels over all of our parking lots. And I think that if we did that, we really would be missing out on the enormous portfolio of benefits that trees can provide in those settings that solar panels cannot. I could share just a few of those. I don't want to belabor the point.
Well, Don had a list too, you know, cool local services, reduce urban heat island effect, reduced wind locally, trap and remove pollution, provide habitat and nesting, provide food for pollinators, increase property values, appreciate over time, sequester carbon, have psychological benefits.
It's all of those things. And if I might add, trees also have a very important economic implication for businesses. there's research that demonstrates that people are more likely to congregate and spend time at places of retail that have trees in comparison to those that have solar panels or not trees. People feel good around trees. Trees give us the invitation to gather and spend time together. And the research also demonstrates that not only do people come to these retail places with trees more often, they spend more time shopping in these places with trees. And ultimately, if you're spending more time there, you're more likely to buy things. They also spend more money. So trees are actually very good for business and for our local economy.
This is Davisville on KDRT LP 95.7 in Davis, California. I'm Bill Buchanan, and my guest today is Erin Marino, who is the executive director of the Tree Davis organization. It's a nonprofit. I understand Davis is working on a new tree ordinance.
You know, I have to apologize because I don't have all of the details on that. The city of Davis has had an ordinance for decades now, and the ordinance is being updated right now. My understanding is that there will be some updates to whom should be required to have a tree, how many trees on a particular parcel space. So if a parcel is of a given size, it's required to have a certain number of trees. And then there's whether or not, well, there's the process for having trees removed, that folks who want to have trees removed have to basically contact the city about that, and it has to be approved on a permit basis. And then the permits and everything gets reviewed by the tree commission. And so I know that the tree commission is actually the entity that's highly involved with the update of the ordinance. Tree Davis has been a little bit on the sidelines of that.
Okay. And that's the city tree commission. So it's an evolving thing, and there'll be chances to comment on it, I'm sure. Sounds like to really track that, then people should keep abreast with the tree commission.
That's correct.
I suppose talk to somebody on the council if they like. So trees do need care. You know, they can drop limbs. I have to acknowledge that a falling limb killed a person in Slide Hill Park this year. And of course, in that storm we had in January, several trees and branches fell. So, and maybe you've answered this a little bit already, but generally speaking, what's required to keep trees healthy and when they grow big, safe? You know, is it a question of monitoring them? As someone who I enjoy trees, I have no idea of how to spot a sick one, you know, unless I just see brown leaves or something.
Absolutely. In order to really be able to spot a sick tree or a hazard tree, that's what we have our certified arborists for. We're very lucky to have a number of certified arborists that are tree hazard assessment certified, and those people do a great service in our community. So I just want to start by thanking those people. Thank you, our certified arborists who do that good work. I would say in terms of keeping trees healthy, monitoring is extremely important. Being able to keep eyes and ears out for what is happening with our trees, being aware of any sort of pest or disease problem and being able to catch it early is extremely important. Preventative maintenance, of course, is also very important. Our city officials are actually very, very diligent in making sure that they have a pruning cycle for each of our neighborhoods, and making sure that trees are pruned on that cycle is very important. Preventative maintenance, of course, in terms of watering our trees and keeping them very healthy, especially during the summertime. Young trees need much more frequent watering in comparison to mature trees, but even mature trees during a drought like this, they didn't get the rain that they need earlier in the year. And so making sure that trees are getting good deep soaks during the summer, making sure that those roots are deeply watered, that's very important. And yeah, I think really just being aware of, from, you know, our municipal leaders, keeping tabs on what is happening with our trees. And Tree Davis is part of that too. I have my team out on the ground 3 times a week, every week, out watering trees this summer, all day long. And as they go, they're keeping an eye out for what's happening with these trees. What do we see in certain spaces? And this is also part of our partnership with the city of Davis, is we can report issues if we see issues.
If someone had a question, maybe they think a tree is looking shaky, but maybe they just have a question. Is there someone in the city they can call, or do they call Tree Davis? Or you said the city has arborists or specialists.
Yep, absolutely. So again, it depends on where this tree is located and who the tree belongs to. If it's on private property, I would encourage folks to go to www.treesaregood, and you can find a certified arborist from that list, folks who are qualified and certified to assess hazard trees. And then, yes, we do have certified arborists at the city staff. And if it's a city tree, if people are concerned, I absolutely encourage them to get in contact with the city staff to have it evaluated.
I want to ask a little bit about the landmark trees program. As I understand it, city has more than 100 on the list so far. And these are trees that are considered significant one way or another. These are in 79 different locations. There's a list on a city website. What makes a tree a landmark? And I'm curious, if someone's just out walking around or wants to see some of the landmark trees, what are some of the good ones to go look for?
Great question. So there's the city program of landmark trees. There are city landmark trees. And then Tree Davis actually has a program called the Great Tree Search. And this is a program in which we have invited the public to nominate great trees in their communities. And those can be trees of unusual size, unusual species, unusual character, or unusual history. And then we have board members who evaluate these nominations, and we've created a large map of these great trees and their stories from all across town. You can find all of those on our website. We have a great map and then profile for each of our great trees. And all of our great trees have now been put into the city's landmark tree program. So we've been sort of feeding our great trees into the landmark tree program. And there's some really cool ones on the list. One of our great trees is called the European Hornbeam. And that particular tree was nominated as both unusual species and unusual form. You can see the picture on our website if you visit treedavis.org and you look for the Great Tree Search. This particular tree looks like Treebeard from The Lord of the Rings. It looks like a giant tree with legs that's walking. It has a trunk that is split at the bottom. And it's pretty entertaining in terms of its form. It's got a lot of character.
Hornbeam. Okay. And the address is on the website, right? I mean, where, because people can go see most of these trees, as I understand. It's not like you have to jump somebody's back fence. They're visible.
Most of them are. Some of them are on private property. And so you can see on our map which ones are accessible from the sidewalk, basically, which ones you can see from the sidewalk. That's indicated on our maps.
And then that program is going to continue, right? Presumably people can nominate more trees.
I'm sorry. I believe the nominations are actually closed at the moment, but I do want to say that we're going to be having what's called the Great Tree Tour this coming fall. We're going to invite the community to come out on their bicycles and follow our mapped route where we can visit these great trees and meet the folks that nominated the trees and hear the unusual stories behind these trees. Some of them are original residents who purchased the homes when they were built and have seen those trees from their seedling stage to now being 80 feet or more tall. And there's some trees, for example, the trees on Regis Boulevard or Regis Drive, the Kentucky coffee trees that are of particular research importance. So there's a lot of really fantastic stories out there.
Yeah, actually, I was reading the story about that one, that there's one tree on that street that is the progenitor of 200,000 trees worldwide because the seed pods it drops aren't as messy. I had no idea.
Yeah.
What sort of thing was
going on.
I feel
like this is a quintessentially Davis occurrence that I love so much. This was a partnership between a researcher at UC Davis and a researcher at the US Forest Service. And they were helping decide which street trees should be planted along Regis when houses were being built there. And they settled on the Kentucky coffee tree because it's heat tolerant, it's drought tolerant, it tolerates clay soils. And there are many trees on that block that do drop the easily recognized coffee beans, if you will. But this particular tree was cleaner in that regard. It didn't drop as many or any. I'm not sure how much it drops, but less. Uh-huh. And so you're correct. The cuttings were taken from that tree and it was propagated at J.F. Schmidt Nursery in Oregon. And it took a long time to get the propagation technique correct, but now it is the godfather of Kentucky coffee trees all over the world. And we lay claim to it right here in our little hometown of Davis, California.
It's just one of those things about Davis you just didn't know about until you dig into something like that.
That's right. You can recognize these great trees as you walk around town because they have placards on them. And you can scan the QR code on the placard using your smartphone, and it will take you to our website where you can watch videos about these trees and read about their history.
You know, as you're thinking about where to plant trees in Davis, people have pointed out, you know, there's some parts of town that don't have as many trees. And in a larger sense, you know, there have been stories. I read one in the Scientific American just last month about the tendency for low-income areas to have fewer trees than wealthier areas. How big a problem is this in Davis? Is it being addressed?
Good question. So you're absolutely right. Tree equity is a very important environmental justice issue right now and has been for a long time, but it's becoming more popular in media and in the press. And yes, so Tree Davis has been working with communities in Davis and also surrounding Davis. We've worked with communities in West Sacramento and also in Woodland to have very concerted planting efforts in neighborhoods that are under canopied. And this is one of the parts of Tree Davis's work that I feel most passionately about, being able to bring environmental benefits to everyone, making sure that everyone in our communities has access to these super important public, environmental, and economic benefits that come along with trees. But it is definitely a process and a labor of love. You know, I think historically there's been a pattern of either governments or other entities coming into underserved communities and telling them what they need and telling them how to fix whatever problem they have. And what we're aiming to do is to use a much more grassroots approach to start with offering education, beginning with a dialogue about what are people currently experiencing in these communities? How do they feel in their community, for example, relative to some of the areas around town that have higher canopy cover? The example that's commonly given in the Sacramento area is looking at tree coverage in Land Park relative to South Sacramento. You can see that in the wealthier neighborhoods, there's a lot more trees and the experience of being outside there is very different.
Yeah, well, and in Davis, College Park is known for its trees in ways that other parts just aren't.
Absolutely. So through the Community Canopy Program that I mentioned earlier, through which anybody can receive a tree, we are focusing on areas that are considered, according to a state algorithm, severely disadvantaged communities. And those tend to be areas where you have higher concentrations of apartment housing or condo housing or duplexes, things like that, where you have more people in smaller spaces, essentially. And so we're trying to work directly with those communities to identify tree vacancies and to engage these folks to get them trees that we have available for them.
Right. Well, we've come to the end of our half hour, so we'll have to leave it there. Erin, could you mention your website again?
www.treedavis.org.
There's more on that website, I'm sure, about probably everything we've talked about today in some form or another.
Yes, indeed. You can request a free tree there. There are resources on how to water your tree and keep it healthy. Okay. And you can also join us for a volunteer event anytime.
Well, Erin, thank you for appearing on Davisville today.
Bill, it's been my pleasure. Thank you so much.
We've been talking with Erin Marino. She is the executive director of Tree Davis. I'm Bill Buchanan on Davisville, KDRT LP 95.7 FM. Thank you for listening.